So this morning, I'm going to introduce you to Dave. Say morning, Dave. Dave is going to speak to us this morning. If you've been around the last few weeks, we've been looking at the subject of the God who is able. And we've looked at some of the attributes of God, about some of the things that are in part of God's character. And we've said, well, if this is the God that we serve, then it underlines for us that God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine, out of Ephesians 3:20. And this morning, spoke to Dave earlier in the week. I've got some other plans for this morning originally, but felt that God was nudging me a little bit differently. So I spoke to Dave, and he hasn't had a long time. I don't know whether I should tell everyone this or not, but I just felt that I ought to just confess to you. Dave's going to speak this morning, and I won't explain why or what, but it'll make sense to you as he speaks why Dave is speaking to us this morning. I believe that God is here, and he's going to speak. It's going to make sense to you as well, Dave, as well, why I've asked you to speak as you speak. So, Father God, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you're leading us, you're taking us somewhere. And this morning, Lord, we want to be quick and obedient to respond to you and to your word to us. And so, Lord, I pray that as Dave speaks, that we would be, our ears would be open to hear what you're saying to us in the Spirit, and that we would, all of us together, find your heart, your will, and your purpose this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Dave.
Morning, everybody. The conversation actually went something a bit like this. Hi, Dave. I don't know whether I dreamt this or not, but, and I thought, well, if Matt ever says that to you, you know you're going to be asked to do something. But he said, did you agree to talk to us sometime about shepherds and sheep? Well, yes, old people dream dreams, leave that where you want to. But anyway, I'm here. And Matt's just asked me to talk about how the Lord is our shepherd. The obvious reason why Matt's asked me to talk about the Lord being our shepherd is because I am one, not a sheep. Well, actually, I suppose I am, because we're all sheep in the flock, aren't we? But for many, many years, I've spent many, many hours with sheep as a shepherd. And I've had many experiences. I've had many good ones. I've had many bad ones. I've overseen and in many cases delivered thousands of lambs into the world, which is always an incredible experience. And when there's, if you talk to any farmer, they'll say where there's livestock, there's also dead stock. So you get mixed with the joys of life, you get the disappointment of deaths and illnesses and all that kind of thing. Sheep, if any of you know anything about sheep, have two purposes in life. One is to escape, and the other is to drop dead somewhere. That is what they do. There was one year I had a sheep, and in fact, sheep, they actually die with a smile on their face if they've managed to do that whilst escaping. They've done it all in one. And there was one year that we had some sheep on a field next to this brook. And this sheep thought one day, do you know what, I'm gonna escape to the other side of that brook. And in the process, it managed to drown itself on the other side. So I thought, I'm resourceful. I know what I'll do to get this sheep back. I'll nip back to the farm and I'll fetch the longest ladder that I can. So I fetched the ladder and I put it across the brook, and it was going really well. I was halfway across when the side of the bank gave way with me on it. Comedy moment. Anyway, I'm sure that sheep even opened its eyes and smiled at me as I floated it and myself back across to the other side. But, you know, God, in the Word, uses some really helpful imagery, doesn't he, to help us understand truth. And that's the thing I love about God, is that he wants to reveal truth to us. He doesn't want to keep it in the dark. He doesn't want to keep it hidden. He wants to give us a revelation of truth. And because we're all quite simple, really, aren't we? He uses lots of simple imagery just to help us get hold of it. Well, he made us, so I guess he knows the best ways to teach us, doesn't he? And one of the things that that he talks about is the fact that he is a shepherd. And I don't know what about you, but going through Sunday school and that, when we were sort of given the images of God being our shepherd, there's usually some nice picture of a clean shepherd looking very respectable with two or three fluffy white lambs. And I think my view of what Jesus as a shepherd was, oh, that's nice, isn't it? That's a nice image. That's the sort of image that we all really want. But actually, I've come to realise over the years that I've worked with sheep that image is far from what Jesus the shepherd actually is. And we're going to have a little look into that this morning. Because, and one of the things that always amazes me is that not only does God come up with these great ideas to help us learn, but this is a clever one. You know, this is so clever because there are so many parallels between Jesus and a shepherd and us and sheep. So you can be finding Ezekiel 34, and whilst you're finding that, in fact, whilst I'm finding that, let me just put a little bit of context to what a shepherd actually does from my perspective as a shepherd. So a modern day shepherd, if you read the trade magazines and the farmers' weeklies and all that kind of thing, when we're talking about sheep, what our role is to maximize production. We want to get those sheep as productive as possible. Well, what does that mean? Basically, it means that we want to bring the very best out of those animals. We want to produce the best flock of sheep, of lambs that we possibly can. How do we do that? Well, we protect them. We protect them from harm. We protect them from injury. We protect them from predators. We make sure that fences are secure. We make sure that if there's any chance of them getting stolen, we'll take precautions to make sure that that doesn't happen. We'll try and prevent illness from happening and disease. And when it happens, which it does, because sheep are sheep and they want to die, so they'll invite it all in, we will deal with illness as and when it comes in. We'll make sure that they're fed right. If you don't feed something properly, it won't grow right. It won't be productive. And as we spend time with sheep, we get to know them. We get to know what they're going to do. We get to know which gap they're going to go for next to escape. You know, we get to know what sheep are like. Now, in the context of Bible times, the sort of Eastern shepherds, some you'll know some of this anyway, but the way that they used to do it was the shepherd used to lead from the front with the sheep. And he would be, I mean, in today's modern context where one shepherd could manage sort of 800 to 1,000 sheep on his own most of the time, realistically he's not going to spend an awful lot of time with them all the time. But back in those days, the shepherds literally lived with the sheep. The sheep knew him. They knew his voice so much that what they used to put all the sheep, sometimes they used to put them all together with other people's flocks overnight. And the sheep were so in tune with their shepherd that when their shepherd called them out, they would all come out and the others would wait till their shepherd came and fetched them. So it was quite an amazing way that they used to do it. So they had an incredible bond. So if you hold all those thoughts in your mind while we read Ezekiel 34, so Ezekiel 34 says this: "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there were no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has become plundered and has become food for all the wild animals. And because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock, so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest of your feet with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you've driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land, and they will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the Sovereign Lord. It's quite a long passage, but there's a lot in there that we can take out. And the context of that passage is that God had appointed shepherds over his people. He had appointed people to lead them, people to look after them. And they had basically abused their position. They had been anything but what a shepherd should be. And at this point, the Lord is saying, look, I'm going to step in because this isn't good enough. This is my flock. This is my people. And, you know, you've abused it. I'm going to step in and I'm going to make sure that I bring about a change in this situation. But it's quite interesting because that whole passage paints a picture of what it's like for a flock to exist without a shepherd. One of the characteristics of a sheep is that they are a flock animal. What do flock animals do? They flock together. Sheep, by nature will stick together until or unless there's a problem. So one of the telltale signs as a shepherd when you go out and you're looking at your flock of sheep is to see, what are they doing? Are they all there, or is there one off on its own? If there's one off on its own, there's a problem. Why is there a problem? Well, that's what you're going to go and find out. Because what they're designed to do is, if they're ill, or if there's a problem, they will take themselves away from the flock. So in a natural environment, when a flock animal are moving around, that flock is vulnerable if it's held back. So as soon as an individual feels like it's going to hold the flock back, it will sacrifice itself for the rest of the flock. So it'll take itself off to die, basically. And that's what they will do. And so what happens if there's no shepherd? Well, there's nobody to pick up on that. There's nobody to see that. And there's a list of things that Ezekiel lists in this passage. First of all, it says that, you know, the weak are not strengthened. If there is nobody to shepherd that flock, how can that individual that goes off on its own, that weak one that might get left behind, how can that possibly be strengthened and return to the flock? The sick are not healed. If there's nobody to administer some medication or to soothe it or to put it right, what's going to happen to that individual? It's going to die. What happens if it gets lost? Well, they all like to escape. We know that now, don't we? But if there's nobody looking out for the ones that are going to put themselves in harm's way, if there's no one looking out for the individual that's going to wander off to a place of danger, how can that individual be productive? How can that individual flourish? He says that ultimately the flock will just scatter and then become food for wild animals. So even though a flock flocks together, ultimately if there is no shepherd to hold the whole thing together, it's just going to end in disaster, because that flock will just become a target for wild animals to eat. We are like sheep. You know, we display a lot of those tendencies, in that we can put ourselves into places or positions where we're vulnerable, where choices that we might make or circumstances that we find ourselves in, we can put ourselves in a place where we're not going to grow in God, or where we're not going to be productive, or some of our life choices put us into places which is not God's best for us. We can do that. We can quite naturally find ourselves in those positions if we're not careful. But we need a shepherd. We need somebody who's going to watch over us. We need somebody who's able to pull us back, who's able, when we stuff it up, when we make bad choices, or even when we find ourselves in circumstances that are not our own doing, we need somebody who's able to rein us back and pull us back. We can often be like sheep, in that when the going gets really tough, well, we get going, don't we? Yeah? You know, we can be in, I'm sure we can all think of times where we've just simply given up. We've lost the fight, and we, like the sheep that goes off on its own, we can suddenly find that we're out on a limb because we've given up and we've gone astray and we've wandered away from God's best for us. Well, that's the bad news, isn't it? The good news is that when God steps in, things are very different. And there's some real strong imagery and words that God uses in this passage that just help us understand what it is for God to be a shepherd. First of all, he actively seeks. You know, sometimes that image of Jesus as the shepherd is such a nice image that, you know, I sort of wonder whether we really have confidence that he actually does anything other than strokes the lambs and says, they're there. But actually, God actively, Jesus actively searches us out. You know, he doesn't sort of sit around waiting. He is actively on the case. He actively searches for his sheep. And when he finds them, he looks after them. Says he's going to rescue them. Has anyone ever been in a situation where they've had to be rescued? Where a helicopter maybe has come in and had to rescue somebody? Whether, you know, we see the helicopter come over, the police one comes over quite a lot. I don't think it's anything to do with us. I hope not, anyway. But you see, you know, you're always hearing of people who need to be rescuing. What does rescue mean? Well, it means that somebody has been taken from a situation that's going to harm them and that's dangerous, and they've been removed from it. That's what rescue is. And that's what the shepherd does. He will take you out of a bad situation that's not good for you, and he will remove you from it and take you to a place of safety. It says he will put his sheep on some good pasture. You know, he will feed you well. Sheep belong to a group of animals known as ruminant animals. Anyone come across that before? Yes, so if you know anything about ruminant animals, you'll know that they've got four stomachs. Seems a good idea. I quite like my food. So I think the thought of having a bit more space would be fantastic. But the thing with the ruminant animal is that they eat a lot more high-fibre stuff, like your grass and your straw and all that kind of stuff. And if they only had one stomach, they wouldn't be able to process it. And the great thing is that it goes into one stomach, gets broken down by some of the friendly bacteria, you know, like the yogurts with the bacteria in and all that. It's all good stuff. So, you know, God designed that before the scientists discovered it. But then it goes into another stomach, and then they bring it back up again, and they chew it some more. What a great idea. I think that's fantastic. And that's what's called chewing the cud. I know, I've spent an awful lot of time with sheep. And then it goes through some more processes, and off it goes. Why am I telling you this? Well, as a shepherd, I need to know how my sheep's digestive system works so that I feed them the right thing, in the right quantity. And our shepherd knows us. He knows what we need, and he will give us, and he has got for us the quality that we need to be productive. You know, we can be overfed, can't we? You know, there's times, you know, if any of my sheep got out, because they do, and if they found themselves to where we kept all the feed and they gorged themselves on it, they would be very poorly. You know, but God gives us the very best quality in the right quantities as well. He will never give us too much or more than we can cope with or more than we will need. You know, and over time, with animals, if you want to change their diet, you do it over time so that they can adjust and get used to it. That is how God is with us, isn't it? He won't dump something on us that we can't cope with. He will gradually change us, shape us, teach us, mould us, so that we're grown into and we adapt into the places that he wants to bring us. He goes on to talk about how his sheep will lie down. Well, that's symbolic of the whole thing that they feel safe. If I go into the field with my dogs, they won't stay laying down for very long. The sheep, that is. My dogs never lie down. They're nuts. But they will all be up because they'll feel vulnerable. They'll feel that something's going on, and they'll huddle together. When you see a flock lying down, it means that they're content and that they're happy, which means that they feel safe and they feel secure. God will give personal attention to each one of us, just as a shepherd will bring personal attention to the sheep. A lot of the sheep that I've invested the most time in are the ones that are vulnerable, the ones that are poorly, the ones that are ill, the ones that nearly didn't get born right unless I'd intervened. Jesus spends time with us as individuals. He knows us and he'll meet our individual needs. He binds up the injured. You know, I'll just run through these. There's too much to spend too much time on. He strengthens the weak. How many of you here ever feel weak? Yeah? How many of you ever feel strong? Well, only when Jesus has met my weakness, because I don't feel very strong on my own. But he does that. He will strengthen us. Do you know, that I love the way that God sort of works in our meetings and how there's just a flow. Because all the stuff that through the worship and that, I thought, oh, that's great. I'll just wrap up at the end because it's all there. It's great. But he will deal with our enemies. He will fight for us. And I think all too often we get ourselves into a place where we feel like we've got to take it all on, that we've got to win the fight, that we've got to, and yeah, we've got to do our part in all of that. But we need to remember that he is the one who said that he will deal with our enemies. Goes on to talk about how those sheep will live in a desert. If that's for me, just tell them I'm busy. and you think, well, what's, you know, why would the sheep be living in the desert? You know, we all face difficult times. Just because we have God on our side doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect all the time. It doesn't mean that we're going to have an easy life all the time. You know, we've got to be real and realistic about the fact that we live in a fallen world. We face challenges because our life is in Christ. By nature of that means that we're in opposition to the powers of darkness. So it stands to reason that things are not always going to go well. We can still live in a desert or deserted place and know what it is to come under the protection of God and the abundance of God. Some of the most difficult times that I've been through, even over recent years, you know, we've had a few things that we've had to cope with that I've not known the answers to. And when I've prayed, I haven't really known how to pray or what to pray, because, you know, God, this is just too big for me. And in those times, I'd learned. And if you ever find yourself in this position where life is just, you know, you have no answers and you're hanging on to God, knowing the promises of God, but not seeing the reality of them in that particular moment or that particular time, and you think, I don't even know how to pray or what to pray, just worship him. Because that has been my experience, that even when I've not had the answers, I don't even need to try and work them out. All I need to do is get into a place where I just say, you know, God, you are God. You are bigger than all my problems. You are able. You are, and just spending that time worshipping him and loving him changes your perspective on the situation. Might not give you the answers at that moment in time. We don't need all the answers all the time. And again, you know, that's about the shepherd not giving us more than what we need at the time. Sometimes we just need to simply trust and be obedient. He blesses us with the best. He breaks the bars of the yoke and rescues us from those that enslave. That's a wordy old phrase, isn't it? But basically, he will step in and he will set us free. How many of you have been set free here this morning? Yeah? That's great, isn't it? What a fantastic feeling of liberty and freedom when we have been bound up with something and we suddenly come into that place that thing that controlled us or that was dominating our lives has just been cut off and severed, and we suddenly feel that freedom because God has done it. We won't be plundered or eaten. That's quite reassuring, isn't it? I don't really want to be eaten. But God will bring us to a place where we're safe, and he will protect us. And he will also bring us to a place where we will have plenty. He has so much for us. And when you start looking at some of those things that the shepherd is about, it is completely different to that image of a nice shepherd with a couple of fluffy lambs that roams around and is kind of there as a nice figurehead. He is actively doing stuff in our lives and is wanting to do stuff in our lives. He's actively wanting to see all of that happen. He has an incredible amount of stuff that he wants to do for us and give and bring us into a place where we can be productive for him. So he wants to bring the very, very best out of us all the time. This prophecy in Ezekiel was pointing right forward to Jesus. You know, when we read that, we can see clearly how that relates to Jesus. But if you just quickly want to flick into John 10. Yeah, from verse 14, in fact, from verse 11. I don't know if it's all up there, but it says this: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. You know, if Jesus was not committed to us as a shepherd, he would not lay down his life for us. And that is the thing that underlines all of that, is the fact that Jesus wants the best for us so much that he was prepared to lay down his life for us. And if it wasn't for that fact that he laid down his life for us, we would never experience what we experience today. And it is fantastic, isn't it? It is a fantastic place to be. But what about sheep? What are sheep like? What are we like as people? Fluffy and cute? Well, that's me. Well, actually, they're not most of the time. They're quite cute when they're lambs, but they soon get to that kind of ugly teenage stage. It's all right, I think they've all gone out, haven't they? Yeah, that's fine. They're quite flighty. You know, if you go into a field, they won't often just stand there for you. If you're out walking and you go through a field of sheep, they won't come crowding round you. They'll disappear off. Sheep also have a need to follow something. So they'll pick out a leader in that. There'll be a ringleader. It's usually the one that's found the escape route first and has gone to the seminar on how to die first, and they'll follow that one. But they will follow something or someone. But one of the most annoying things for me as a shepherd is that sheep will struggle against me all the time. And there are various times throughout the year where I will need to do something with the sheep that is for their benefit. And as I'm got them, I'm thinking to myself, I know from their demeanour that they're not going to come back and say thank you, because they're struggling, they're kicking, they're wriggling. They're actually making what I'm trying to do for them a lot harder on themselves, because they're not accepting that what I'm doing is going to help them. There's times that I have to treat them with wormers and things like that that's going to improve their well-being. There's times that they're sick where they need an injection or they need some kind of medicine. And all the time they will kick and struggle. And I'm often thinking to myself, I can see a lot of myself here in my relationship with God, where God is trying to do something to me, he's trying to develop me or change something, but I don't like it. I was quite happy how I was, thank you very much, because this is uncomfortable, and I'll kick and I'll struggle. One of the things that happens in the early summer, which you might have heard about, is a blowfly attack. Anyone heard of that? And it's the most gruesome thing to happen to a sheep, because what happens is flies will be attracted to, and this is before they've been sheared, they'll be attracted to their wool if it's damp or if it's mucky, and they'll lay eggs in there. The eggs will hatch into maggots, and the maggots will basically just feed off the flesh. And if you don't treat it quick, the sheep will literally be eaten to death. And it's just the most revolting thing. And even over the years, when I've cleaned them up, the way that you deal with that is you clip out all the bad. You clip out all the bad fleece, and then you make sure that you remove all the maggots, and then you'll soothe it with ointment, and then you'll treat the rest of it so that the flies are not attracted to that animal again. But as far as that sheep's concerned, I'm in pain, leave me alone, don't want you to interfere, get lost. And it will, even when it's almost dying of being eaten to death, it will still struggle and kick against me. And there's a lot of imagery in that I've often thought over the years. You know, there's a lot in me and in us that over time God's had to just cut out and remove because it's not good for us. And if he doesn't, if it gets left, then it will destroy us. And there are times that, you know, that God just needs to intervene and needs to cut things out. And it's not nice. It's uncomfortable and it's painful. But he soothes us afterwards. He puts us in a place where we're put back together again, and that we're able then to become productive. Shearing is an important time of year because it goes a long way to stopping that from happening. And we're nearly at the end of that season now. Well, for me, I've got 5 more sheep to shear for somebody this week, and then that's it done. I can put the machinery back in the shed till next spring, next summer. But George and I were out quite late a few weeks ago, and we were on our way home, and it was pushing towards 11:30, and I'm just debating how responsible a parent I've been in keeping him out late. I thought, well, he'd probably learn more with me than in school. And then I remembered that I am a responsible parent and not at school myself anymore. But anyway, we started to have a conversation about who was going to have a bath on the way home. Because George sort of announced, I'm going to have a bath when I get in. And I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute, I've sheared the sheep. I'm dirtier and ache more. And it's actually very late and you need to get into bed pretty quick. And I want a bath. So we're having this sort of debate, setting out our case. And in the end, I said, well, listen, George, what it comes down to is the fact that you've got nobody to kick you out of bed, and I have, if I don't have a bath. So I got the bath that night, because otherwise I would have been sleeping up in the barn, probably. But the point is that when a shepherd gets involved with a sheep, he gets dirty. So when I'm shearing the sheep, you can't kind of shear it over there in case they sort of kick. You've got to get almost completely around that animal. You've almost got to become one with it, because if you don't, it will struggle and kick more. And in the process of shepherding, I get pretty filthy, and my clothes will get oily and dirty. I will often get bruised and kicked in the process of trying to do the best for these sheep. And it is a picture of how Jesus operates with us. You know, he gets involved in what we're doing. We don't have to look at an image of a nice, clean-cut shepherd with the perfect lambs that haven't got wonky legs and all the rest of it. He gets involved with us because we're imperfect. And when Jesus gets involved, he will almost become one with us. He will get so involved in our lives and in what's going on with us that he will almost smell like we do. Well, he did, didn't he? When he died on the cross, when he took all of our filth, all of our sin, he took that on himself. And actually, he's scarred, isn't he? From that, he's got the holes in his hands and in his side. He has taken on the bruises and the injuries and everything else for us on our behalf. That is how involved that God gets. I was at Matt and Claire's a while ago, and I noticed that they'd got a very nice shepherd's crook. In fact, do you want to come and bring both of those up? And I think I commented at the time, that's really nice. That's a nice shepherd's crook, because I quite noticed things like that. And I said, that's like the Sunday best of a shepherd's crook. And I was thinking back to what mine looks like, which is not quite as nice and ornate as that. And it's very crooked and it's very bent. And I thought, well, actually, there's an illustration there, because this has been practically used. This one is very symbolic of whatever it was that you're telling me about that's gone out of my head. This was when, well, anyway, that's another thing. That's nothing to do with what I'm talking about. This one is smart and has never been used on a sheep, I don't think. This one, you can hold that one as well. I can't multitask, hold two things. But you'll notice that one has very much been used. It wasn't like that when I bought it. The paint's chipped off. I did give it a quick clean before I put it in the car this morning. It's bent, and it's been used for various different things over the years. I've used it to extend my reach so I can stop sheep escaping through gaps they shouldn't escape through. I've used it to catch sheep that I've needed to treat. I have at times used it to protect sheep, which is why it's got bent. It's got used for all sorts of different things. But the point is that the real image that we should have of Jesus as a shepherd is not an ornate, clean-cut, perfectly clean shepherd. It's somebody who gets his hands dirty. It's somebody who gets involved in our lives no matter what the cost is. And and we need to understand what Jesus is as a shepherd to us. I mean, actually, that one there relates to Matt and Claire and leadership, doesn't it? And, God puts people over us to shepherd us and to lead us and to look after us. And I like that. I will always make sure that I will put myself under godly people's influence and leadership. I have no problem whatsoever in submission to leadership. Why? Because I need it. I need people to look out for me. I need people to tell me when I'm getting it wrong. I need people to look after me. Because when that happens, I can be effective. I can be a leader in my workplace. I can look after other people. I can bring God's word into situations. Why? Because somebody else is doing that for me. You know, that's great. You can sit down if you like. Yep, you can put those there if you like, just in case I fall over or something. You know, so it's good. You know, we've got great leaders, haven't we, here? You know, and it's just easy. It makes life so much easier when we're in that place. Let's just make a response to the Lord this morning. You know, I don't know where people are at this morning. And, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit's just speaking to you, just revealing something to you through not just what I've been talking about, but just through the whole course of the morning. But maybe some of you have been in a place where you are like the sheep, you've been struggling against God. Maybe there's stuff that's been going on in your lives that you found difficult, and that God's been dealing with you, and that you've actually not liked it. It's not been comfortable. It's been difficult. It's been hard. And so you've struggled. Maybe you're in a place where you're like the sheep that have scattered. Maybe on an issue, or maybe your whole life you've just withdrawn, and you've gone like the sheep that takes itself off away. You've actually scattered, and you're not in that place where the shepherd can really help you and deal with you. We need to know what it means to come under the good shepherd. You know, and I can tell you this morning, you know, if you're struggling, it's a lot harder. Because what God wants to do in our lives, the way that Jesus wants to invest in us, he wants to bring the best out in us. He wants to maximize our production. He wants to use us for his glory, for building his kingdom. He wants to see us flourish as his people. And sometimes he does need to step in and do some uncomfortable stuff. And if you're in that place this morning, you know, just get into a place where you stop struggling, where you say, you know, Lord, yeah, I have struggled, I've fought against you, I've kicked and I've ranted and I've raved, but Lord, I'm just going to leave that behind now, because I know that you want the best for me. I know that you want to bring about something in my life that is going to make a difference, not just in my life, but in everybody else's. Maybe you need rescuing this morning. Maybe you're in circumstances or situations where you know that God actually is wanting to remove you from that and do something that is going to just take you away from that. If you need to make a response, let's just close our eyes. And I'm just going to ask you, if you need to make a response to God, you know what that is, between you and him, whatever the Holy Spirit's prompting you this morning, then just stand. And let's, the rest of us, you know, let's just spend a few moments with the Lord. Let's just let what he's speaking to us this morning sink in. Let's allow our faith to rise. Our God is fighting for us. He's on our side. He wants to bring the best out of us. Hallelujah. Yeah, Father, we just want to declare that you are our shepherd. We just want to declare that we're happy to be in that place, because we know that you have the very best for us. You demonstrated all of that because you were prepared to die in our place. And we also recognize, Lord, that we need to be in a place where we stop struggling, because your sacrifice was far, far outweighing ours. And I just pray, Lord, whatever our
whatever's going on in all of our lives this morning, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to not struggle. Lord, we just declare, we make a conscious decision this morning that we're going to stop struggling. Lord, where we've wandered off, where we've got involved in areas of life that we should never be involved with, where we've looked over the fence and we've been attracted to things that we thought were better than your best for us, Lord, we just lay those down. Lord, we just say we're coming back to you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Just as I finish, let's just all stand a minute. And Psalm 23 was read a couple of times, and it's good because I didn't feel that was something that God wanted me to pick up on until now, so that it just fits, you know. And actually, if you get a chance this week, go and reread that again. But just listen to these words, and just pray them quietly, say amen at the end to them. But this is Psalm 23 that's been written but personalized. I can never be in need, for the Lord himself is my shepherd. He causes me to rest in his abundant provision and leads me to the place of peace with him. He restores my soul and leads me in ways he knows to be right, so that his name will be honoured in my life. Even though I may have to walk through times of the deepest darkness, I will not need to be afraid of any evil befalling me, for the Lord is with me, my strength and my guide. Lord, you prepare before me a table on which is all your provision, despite the enemy's opposition. You have anointed me with the oil of your spirit, and I overflow with the fullness of your life. Your goodness and love are sure to be with me for the rest of my life, and I will live with you in your glory forever. Amen.